This afternoon's sermon has been prepared by Reverend R. Vermeulen of the Canadian Reformed Church of Attercliffe, Ontario. And in connection with Lord's Day 18, regarding Christ's ascension into heaven, he's chosen to read John 14. So let us read that chapter first. So we'll read John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." So far from John 14. Now let's read from Lord's Day 18, which can be found on page 532 of your Book of Praise. Lord's Day 18. What do you confess when you say he ascended into heaven? That Christ, before the eyes of his disciples, was taken up from the earth into heaven, and that he is there for our benefit until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Is Christ then not with us until the end of the world as he has promised us? Christ is true man and true God. With respect to his human nature, he is no longer on earth. But with respect to his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. But are the two natures in Christ not separated from each other if his human nature is not present wherever his divinity is? Not at all. For his divinity has no limits and is present everywhere. So it must follow that his divinity is indeed beyond the human nature which he has taken on, and nevertheless is within this human nature and remains personally united with it. How does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? First, he is our advocate in heaven before his Father. Second, we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. And third, he sends us his Spirit as a counterpledge, by whose power we seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and not the things that are on earth. After the sermon, let us respond with the singing of hymn 40, verse 1, 2, and 3. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we tend to have a fairly narrow view of reality. Being busy in this life, experiencing this life with all its ups and downs, most of us, having more than enough to occupy us day in and day out, don't have much time to think beyond the here and the now. We live in the present, and the present is often so pressing, so urgent. There's decisions to make and, it seems, new things to tackle and think about. All of that earthly focus sometimes has an unintended consequence. That of not feeling very connected to heaven, of not feeling very connected with our Saviour. We know he's there. We believe he's sovereign. We confess that he's busy in our lives. But that connection between him and us, it sometimes seems a bit elusive, a bit weak. To illustrate, it was interesting this past week discussing the doctrine of God with the senior catechism students. One of the questions that we had a discussion on was, what evidence do you have in your life that God is God, that he is real and active in your life? Many of the young people didn't find that the easiest question to answer. Would you find it easy to answer? Contrast that to the disciples. They had a very close relationship with their master. Everything about their earthly life revolved around what Jesus was doing, where he was going, what he was saying. And so we fully understand that they were horrified that he was going to leave them. so much so that they were filled with sorrow. John 16, verse 6. That was understandable sorrow. It was real grief. The one they stood in awe of, the one who had taught them about light and life, the one at whose feet they had sat spellbound listening to his parables, the one they had watched perform miracle after miracle, the one to whom they felt so connected, was going to go, is going to leave them. And Jesus did. He ascended into heaven. And we know it. We confess it every time we confess our faith together as congregation, as we did that again. We confess that that is where he is now, in heaven. But to ask a question now, given that he is there and you are here, do you still feel connected with him? Maybe asking the question this way will help. Are you as aware of Christ's presence in your life as the disciples were who walked and talked with him every day? When they had their dinner, Jesus was often with them. When they walked along the road, Jesus walked with them. When you had dinner yesterday evening, did you feel that Jesus was there? When you drove to work this past week, was Jesus driving along with you? Do you feel connected to him? We have the joy and privilege of hearing the gospel this afternoon about our connection with heaven. And our theme is, our connection to heaven is always secure because we worship the ascended Lord. And we'll consider that having ascended, our Lord, firstly, is active in heaven, and secondly, is active here on earth. So firstly, our ascended Lord is active in heaven. The disciples had it, this real and intimate connection with heaven, as they walked and talked with Jesus while he was here on earth. But do you know who had enjoyed a connection with heaven that was even more profound and deep? I'm thinking, of course, of Adam and Eve before the fall into sin. Theirs was an intimate and perfect relationship with God. They walked and talked with him in the garden. There was never anything that got in the way of that relationship. Their connection was secure and wonderfully whole. But we also know the sad reality of the fall. Adam and Eve were disobedient. They ate from the tree from which they had been told not to eat. They broke that connection they had with heaven. The result, we know, was a very definite disconnect between heaven and earth. It was very obvious and very much felt by Adam and Eve. They were evicted out of the garden, the very place in which they had enjoyed such awesome fellowship with God. God, however, in his incredible love and infinite mercy, was not content with this disconnect. He had created people for the purpose of fellowship. He created people so that in fellowship with him, they might glorify him and enjoy him forever. And for that reason, God sets in motion his plan to reconnect heaven and earth. And most of us here this afternoon know the story of God's redemption. God reconnected heaven and earth in a most dramatic way. He did it by sending Jesus Christ from heaven to this earth. He did it by becoming man, a person of flesh and blood like us. Here on earth, Jesus walks and talks with people. He teaches and heals them. His basic message, through me, the disconnect you have with heaven will be reversed. My self-sacrificial death on the cross sufficiently pays the price for your sins, which created the disconnect. And with that price paid, heaven and earth are connected once more. And the disciples, brothers and sisters, we have to agree, had a wonderful taste of this reconnection. But then, just as the joy of this connection becomes somewhat real for them, just as they begin as disciples to understand the true purpose for which Christ came to this earth, just when they, along with Thomas, saw things and experienced things that made them say, "My Lord and my God," of this Jesus, just when they began to grasp who this Jesus really is and what he means to them in terms of their connection with heaven, just as things begin to fall in place for them, he tells them that he is going to leave them. John 14, verse 28, we read it. "I am going away." But we also need to read the rest of that phrase. "I am going away and coming back to you." He is going, but he is also coming back. Question and answer 46 reflects that truth. What do you confess when you say he ascended into heaven? That Christ, before the eyes of his disciples, was taken up from the earth into heaven. He left to go back to heaven from where he had come. But he is coming back again, coming back to us. And the answer echoes that biblical truth. He is there in heaven until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But that makes this an important question. If he is coming back, why did he leave in the first place? And we know the answer to that. At least we know the theological answer to that. It's this: he left for our good. Jesus said that to his disciples in John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And that's reflected in answer 46 as well. He was taken up from the earth into heaven, and he is there for our benefit. That means a lot. At least it means this: his ascension into heaven does not have the result that the disciples expected. His ascension into heaven does not sever their connection to heaven that Christ re-established by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. Here is gospel, glorious gospel. Christ didn't ascend into heaven to get away from the pain and suffering that marked his life on earth. His ascension wasn't an escape to heaven's glory and a way to rid himself of his disciples and followers with all their questions and relentless demands. No, he ascended for their benefit, theirs and ours. Like everything else Jesus did and does, it was a selfless ascension. That means he is active in heaven right now for us. By his coming to earth, he re-established the connection between heaven and earth that we broke by our sin. And now, having ascended, he is active in heaven, working to maintain our connection to heaven and bring out all its glorious wonder. And yes, that is the theological explanation as to why he ascended. It's the biblical explanation. But where does it leave us as we wrestle with the reality of our connection to heaven, our connection to the God who sits on the throne of heaven? We don't think about it enough. But do you realize this? That as you were busy and active this morning getting yourself and or your family ready for church, there was at the same time someone active and busy in heaven for you. Boys and girls, as you ate your breakfast this morning or your lunch this afternoon, there was someone active on your behalf in heaven. And as all of us head into this new week to do the things that we need to do, there will be someone active and engaged in our life in heaven. So what's this someone doing? What is it that keeps our ascended Saviour so busy in heaven on our behalf? How is his presence there maintaining your and my connection to heaven? Answer 49 really helps us here. And let's right away make this practical using the first part of answer 49 as a guide. It says, first, he is our advocate in heaven before his Father. And that means this, that when we sin, as we do in the course of our Sunday scurry to get ready for church on time, snapping at one of the kids, a negative thought about church or someone in the church, it means this, that when we sin, but then also repent, we have our Saviour in heaven pleading for us before the Father. He says, as it were, to the Father, Father, forgive that sin, because I gave my life for that sinner. He or she is clothed in my righteousness. It's 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2, which says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You understand? Amongst all the things that our ascended Lord is busy with in heaven, there is this one thing that is so very important for you and I in terms of our connection with heaven. When we sin, and then in humility repent, the Son of God who died on the cross and then ascended there is active there, pleading for us before the Father. And we need to drive the point home. You might not always feel this connection to heaven in the busyness of your life, but it's real and it's beautiful. More, it is so necessary for us. Because think, let's imagine it's a Friday afternoon. The week is almost done, and along with the week, you're almost done too. Tired, perhaps feeling a bit down, and you've sworn off the alcohol. You've promised those close to you that you wouldn't turn there for comfort. But then it happens. In weakness, you find yourself at the liquor store or pub, and you do end up doing what you don't want to. At that moment, it becomes critically important that you have an advocate in heaven before your Father. On that Friday afternoon, it's life and death important that you have someone active and busy in heaven keeping you connected to your Father. Because if he isn't keeping you connected, then there's no need to finish that sentence. Because try and imagine for a moment that you are not connected to heaven, that you don't have your ascended Lord there active and busy on your behalf on that Friday afternoon when you come to your senses and put that drink away. Imagine that. Because if my ascended Lord isn't in heaven before the Father active on my behalf, then there is no forgiveness for that sin either. And if there's no forgiveness for that sin, then there's no forgiveness for any sin. And if there's no forgiveness, then I have no connection to heaven whatsoever. Yes, then what remorse I feel at having sinned against my Father in heaven. A remorse I feel because I'm connected to heaven. But then what joy. What joy I know that I have an advocate in heaven who is active on my behalf, active, securing my forgiveness so that my connection to heaven remains. And then we don't have to doubt the security of that connection either. Because look at answer 49. If the first part of the answer is true, that we have an advocate in heaven, then the second part of the answer follows as true too. That your ascended Lord is active in heaven now on your behalf also means that he is there as a sure pledge that we are going to go and be with him one day. That's John 14, verse 2 and 3, which we read. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that incredible in terms of our connection to heaven? You don't prepare a place for someone you are not expecting. You don't make your guest room ready when you're not expecting visitors. But when you know visitors are coming to stay, you get that room ready. Says our ascended Lord to us, I am here in heaven. And because one day I will take you to be where I am, that's here in heaven, I am already active now preparing your place here. See then the huge reinforcement of our connection that we have in the wording of this answer 49. We have our flesh and blood in heaven as a sure pledge that he, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Get this, brothers and sisters. There is a man in heaven, a man of flesh, a real person, hands, feet, all the body parts that you and I have, and his presence there now is your personal guarantee that he is active there preparing your place. Think again of how incredible this is. Remember, we were thrown out of the garden, out of God's presence. The connection was broken. And such is the glory of the restoration of that connection that our ascended Lord is active, even today, maintaining. Such is the security of that connection, even today, that there is certainly that one day we'll be fully in God's presence again. And that Jesus is ascended there now is our proof that we too will be accepted into God's presence. How incredible that thought. Fallen, but now restored men and women, boys and girls, welcomed into God's holy presence. Here is certainty for you and me. Here is the reality of our connection to heaven today. Our head, Jesus Christ, ascended there, and he is there as our representative. His presence there, his activity there guarantees that he, our head, will take us, his members, up to himself. Then it doesn't matter who I am or what it is that keeps me busy here on earth. What matters is that I do really have a connection to heaven. And that connection is secure. So secure that I know in faith with 100% certainty that I am ultimately going there too. Do you doubt it? Do you doubt that he is in heaven right now? Do you doubt that as you are so busy and active here on this earth with all the busyness of life, perhaps not even thinking about heaven or feeling that connection to heaven, do you doubt that he is there, that he is active being your advocate, that he is active there busying himself with preparations for your arrival there? Do you doubt that? Do you wonder sometimes about your connectedness to heaven? We can read from Ephesians 2, verse 6. Actually, let's start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And here is verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see the significance of that as you contemplate your connectedness to heaven? That verse says not just that you are going to heaven one day, it says that you are already there. You've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That means this, that because he is there, we are there. He is our head. We are his body. And where the head is, the body will most certainly be too. That's how sure your connection to heaven is. So, do you feel connected to heaven? Well, actually, that's a bit of a deceiving question. Because we are sinful, we don't always feel it. But by faith, we know it is so. My ascended Lord is active there for me. But not only active there, he is also active here. Our second point. Our Lord ascended into heaven and is busy there. We know that now. But he's not left us here on earth alone. And we praise God that that is so. Answer 49 confirms it as true. With respect to his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. We read it in verse 18 of John 14. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. It means that our ascended Lord isn't only active in heaven, he also remains active here. And how comforting for the believer. My ascended Lord is active here on earth in his divinity. He is present here as God with all his attributes and perfections, his holiness, his infinite wisdom, his knowledge of all things. Yes, all things in your and my life too. His faithfulness and unchangeableness. He is all these things, everywhere, all over the world, all of the time. Always present, always active. And he is active in his majesty too. This, of course, very closely related to his divinity. Remember that our ascended Lord was given the throne of heaven. He is exalted above all, every force, every power, every president and prime minister, every military force, every circumstance of your life, he has power over all. He rules. He judges. He controls. How does all this help you? You want to know when it comes to your connection to heaven? Well, in faith, think it through. His divinity and majesty are everywhere. And if they are, then they are very near you too. Heaven is connected with you. The divinity and majesty of heaven surround you. The throne of heaven is occupied by the one who loves you, and his power and majesty he exercises for you. And this means so much. It's so much more than just that he simply exercises his providential care in our lives. It's that he is divinely present in your life. It's that his power and grace are active in your life because of his love for you. He's using all the resources of his power to keep you connected to heaven. While you drive your car, while you are busy in the home, as the frustrations of work pile up, while you are reading a bedtime story to your children, while you are taking a lecture for your college or university studies, while you are in pain or grieving, he is there with his divinity and majesty, using his power to keep you secure in his love. It's all grace, simple and amazing grace. And we only get that and understand that. We only embrace that truth in faith because it is worked in us. And this is where it gets really incredible. Because if it were up to us in our sinful natures, God could stare us in the face with his majesty. He could blind us with his glorious work in our lives, but we wouldn't see it. Except we do. We do see it because our ascended Lord has given us his Spirit too. How glorious this truth! Here in this life, with my sinful focus so often being on earthly things, I desperately and urgently need the gift of Christ's Spirit to keep me connected to him. And it's so precious a truth. Answer 49 again. Third, he sends us his Spirit as a counterpledge, by whose power we seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and not the things that are on earth. He has gone to heaven. And even as we live here, it's in heaven where our focus should be. Our this earth life needs to be lived in heaven's way. And we're just not good at having that focus. We are way too tied to this life. But look at who we've been given. And look at what his task description is here in answer 49. As it echoes Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. In his absence from this earth, Christ Jesus sends us his Spirit so that as we live on this earth, we might have a proper God-honoring way of living this life, a proper God-honoring connection to him. Verses 15 to 17 of John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Talk about having a connection to heaven. Through his Spirit, our ascended Lord is very active here on earth. He is very much connected with the believer, living with him and in him. And it's that Spirit's work in us that helps us then see things heaven's way, live heaven's way, bring heaven's understanding onto the mountaintops and into the valleys of our lives. Oh yes, Christ was going. Yes, he has ascended, but he's not separated from his people. It's one of those beautiful paradoxes that only our God is capable of. Absent, but very much present. Both active there and active here. And do you see how the ascended Christ is active then, both here and in heaven? Do you see it in your life? Do you experience it? Just the fact that you believe it is so, that you are connected to heaven, even though you might not always feel it, just the fact that you believe it is proof. The ascended Lord is busy in heaven and here. You know, brothers and sisters, we'll go to bed tonight and then tomorrow morning we'll get up, Lord willing, and get on with our weekly tasks, whatever they may be. And that's good. That's the way it should be. Faithful to our callings. But again, it's true. We are so often a very earthly focused. We get busy. We rush from here to there. And way too much we think just about this life. We tend to have a tunnel vision for the here and now. But as you scurry about through life, remember something. Our ascended Lord's field of vision is much more expansive than ours. We tend to have our noses pointed at the task at hand, today's troubles and challenges enough for today. But all the while, our ascended Lord is busy, active there, interceding before the Father for us, busy there preparing our place, but active here too, actively working with his divinity and majesty for our good, actively guiding us with his Spirit. Our entire life beautifully connected and interwoven with the activity of our ascended Lord. That means that when you have your dinner this evening, He is there, busy and active for you. And that's true for every moment of our lives until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. And then he is going to take us to be where he is, fully connected and connected forever. Amen.